Alright, and we're back at it again. My name is Joe Delicious, your favorite DJ, and with me is our game historian, Byron. Mm-hmm. Now, Byron, yesterday, where did we go?
An art class?
Yes.
I don't know if it's actually much of a class. It's not quite a class, right?
Yes. And we met a lovely lady that potentially is listening to this, and if she is, we're closing this down.
Yeah, we're so sorry.
Yes. So we went to an art class. We saw some, we did a live drawing event.
Yeah, live drawing.
At a pub, and there was a very professional nude lady that came in and posed and we drew.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, I've been trying to get you to do meaningful shit all the time and you won't do it. And as soon as there's a naked lady in front of you,
you realize that I agreed before the like drawing part was added in, right? Like, the first part was pub and drink, and I was like, oh yeah, okay.
True, but then
the drawing part, like, that's actually a withdrawing from the situation.
It's true part. But what was interesting about it is we drew for 1-2 hours,
mm-hmm.
and we did it properly we with real intent, and we did, you know, put a lot of effort in. But then afterwards, mm-hmm. you know, the lady was kind enough to speak with us for about 2 hours, and she got you to do stuff that I could not possibly thought you would ever do, which is gave you some homework.
Oh yeah, I haven't done that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Mind mapping.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have done a mind map before, I just can't remember what it was for. But I thought it was... I've always understood mind mapping as like a creative endeavor.
Yes.
But I'm still not clear on like what we're actually looking for in the mind mapping.
I don't think that was the point. I think she just wants you to write something and then show it to her in about a month from now.
Yeah.
Yes. So you've been given homework to a lady that you essentially saw for 2 hours. It's a very compelling story. Like, if anyone I've met for 2 hours naked and they told me to do something, I'll do it as well. So, you know, I guess.
Hmm.
But I can't get you to do anything. I'm just absolutely stunned. So anyways.
Yeah, you can. Within reason. You just fail at the like, oh, let's do this big thing as a group. I was like, oh, no, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But like smaller scale things I do pretty regularly.
But I think she would have been very good at being part of this conversation, this podcast. She definitely seemed to have been able to make you talk about yourself, and she talks about it in very interesting ways about herself as well.
Yeah, I rely on other people being
extroverted
to get me talking, because I won't initiate anything myself.
Right, right.
So the other people need to pick it up.
Right, right, right. So it wasn't the fact that you saw her naked for 2 hours and then...
I don't think I had anything to do with it.
Right, right. Well, good on you. Good on you. Good on you.
I don't even know how it would affect the conversation, really.
Oh,
I can see maybe some people, but like, I don't know.
I mean, she was very professional, but she was also a pretty lady.
Sure.
Which made it a little bit tough. In fact, you know, that's the interesting thing. Like, we talk about video games and like all this, is there in Grand Theft Auto where like there is like a live drawing scenario?
A life drawing scenario?
Yeah, yeah. Like you walk into an art class and like...
I don't think so, because it's quite niche, right?
Right, right.
Like there's definitely like comedy skits and things like that, but like Grand Theft Auto is very like social commentary. Like if it was doing something like that, it wouldn't be doing it in a positive light.
Do you know any games where there is like a scenario where there's live drawing?
There's plenty of games based around art. Like there's a game that came out a while ago. I can't remember the name, but it's like, it's an isometric game.
What does that mean?
It's your perspective is like tilt shifted. Like you're viewing it from the top, but it's slightly tilted.
Uh-huh.
So it's, you know.
Oh, right. So like Sims.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right,
Sims
right.
is an isometric game as well.
Right, 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 right.
But it's like, there's like, you work for like an artist. You're a dog. Like everyone's like anthropomorphic and you work for like this artist and they're like, they color the world, and then something happens and all the world's color is drained and the artist has disappeared, and so you, like with like an amateur,
that is literally the plot.
Yeah. And you have no idea how to do art. You're like, this person's just like,
that's,
you know, cleaner basically.
Well, what is the name of this game?
I can't remember. I can't remember the name of the game, sorry.
But keep going.
But it's like the premise is like you pick up their brush and have to recolor the world. But you're terrible at it because you have no idea what you're doing, because it's now it's you like controlling a mouse and like clicking on colors and just like, you know, painting over the screen to try and color things in,
right?
And it's like you've got this like this like superpower basically to color things in, and people want things to be colored, they might ask you like, hey, can you give me like can you like color my roof?
Yes.
Can you like repaint my house for me?
And
you know, that takes a few seconds because you just, you know, scribble on it with the mouse and you're like, oh yeah, that looks pretty good. But what, can you do it in blue? I want to see what blue looks like. So stuff like that.
And then you get points in it.
No, it's not really a point thing. It's actually a very story-based game, but I didn't actually finish it. I only played it for, I don't know, like 45 minutes or something like that. I was just kind of screwing around with it.
I wouldn't mind.
But there's lots of games like that.
Name of the game like later on.
No, so you wouldn't play Journey, but this one.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I think it starts with a K or something, but I'll look it up later. But yeah, there's lots of games like that. Right. There's another one which is literally like you go to like an art class and they like grade your your art. They
are you actually drawing something? Like is it actually like
you're like
entertainment game where they teach?
No, it's basically just entertainment, but it's supposed to be like a work of art where you create art in it.
Right.
And it's like you're in, like it's all like surreal environments. Like it's a lot of like empty space, and you're on a floating platform in the middle of nowhere with just like weird abstract scenery.
Yeah.
And it tells you like, oh, draw like this, and you've got your like little, what do you call it, like a palette, and you're picking colors and trying to draw something, and then they must have some kind of something that can kind of look at roughly what you've drawn and kind of grade it in whatever they were looking for.
Can you please remember?
I don't remember the name of that game. Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. You know, figure what it looks like.
Yeah, there's plenty of like art-based games. Especially on the DS. Maybe with the DS, because that had like a touchscreen.
Nintendo DS.
Yeah, that was like the first video game console with like a touchscreen attached to it. So a lot of that probably had some arts to it, though I can't actually think of any off the top of my head, but I assume there'd probably be some similar drawing stuff. Like I know that there was a messaging program, like the big pitch before any games were really even revealed, where people just got their kicks by like being able to draw messages and send them to their friends.
Right. I just feel like, games is just such a big opportunity to integrate, you know, visual art into it. You know, there is an app that
games are art, though. I think it's actually hard to integrate other art into it because it's
difficult. So there's an app that there's an app that I often open and just take a look through before I sleep at night, and it's the Google Arts and Culture app. And one of the, I remember this must be like 2 years ago now, it's done by this gallery that holds a lot of artwork by this guy called Salvador Dali. Do you know this name?
Yeah, Salvador Dali. Yeah. He's a cool guy. He's the dude with like the pet
with the melting clock.
Yeah, and he used to like sign like receipts as payment. Like he'd sign like checks as payment and say like that's worth.
Yes. Yeah. Correct. And he has the really funny mustache.
Yeah,
the super long
and
curly mustache. Yes. So this gallery, I don't know where it is. I think it's based in America, but I might be wrong. Took some of his paintings. I think it's called Dada. I think that's what they're called. But they're very surreal type of environments, as you remember. They're elephants with very, very long legs, and landscape that's like very desolate and melting clocks. And they made it into like this 3D world where you can navigate and just traverse. You just walk sort of as a character in the game, and you just walk through this space, and then in the background would be like Beatles music.
Yeah, I've seen a similar thing actually.
Yeah.
Which also it worked as it was about
But was it like a caravan of elephants with like
no
100 meter long legs?
Mine was a different artist they were using. It was somebody that worked with like lights, and their art is all about presentation with light.
Right.
They made a game around that, but it was also a commentary and critique of art and that kind of art. Like the game used, like you control a character called Busby, and Busby is like it's kind of like a Mario or Sonic like character from like that old Nintendo Sega era.
So
it was like a failed one,
right?
And everyone makes fun of it because it was bad,
right?
But they modeled that character and put him into the world,
right?
And then it had other elements that were like you could like collect like it was like balloons or balls or something as you were moving around this art gallery and looking at this other person's art. And part of I think what it was critiquing, because it's really abstract, was that like this guy's art is all about he always says you can't, you have to be there in person to see it because yes. there's light things.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so they were replicating it in a game.
Yes.
And I think that's a commentary on the art in itself, but I'm too dumb to know what they're saying exactly.
Yes, yes, yes.
But like it had weird elements, like parts of the heads up display would error. So you'd like collect a ball.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
then the ball at a certain point, it would tick to like double digit or something like that. And that would, it, you, the HUD would display like the number 10 and then cross, and it would show the ball, but eventually the ball on the HUD would get dislodged and start bouncing around the game world. It had all this weird stuff going on to it.
Right.
Sounds similar-esque to kind of what you're describing.
I think it is, yeah. But you're right, games are aesthetic. I mean, they are art. You're totally correct. I'm sorry for, you know, playing down upon it, but you're totally right, and it's very, very exceptional stuff.
Well, I wasn't trying to... I know what you mean,
but
it's just trying to replicate other kinds of art in video games is quite hard.
What game do you think is like the most aesthetically significant?
Aesthetically significant?
Yes. That's beautiful. That actually doesn't have to be beautiful, but like that's very...
It's hard to say because there's plenty of games. Like there's a game called El Shaddai, which is a game for the Xbox 360 or PS3. I can't remember, but it's, you know, a generation too old now. But 10 years old or something, but it's really, it looks really good, but it's not a good game. Plays badly, and it's hard to separate that element from it a lot of the time. And then you've got things like, but it has a really unique style. There's a game called, like...
Did it do well?
No, it didn't.
Was the intention for it to, like, do well?
I mean, that's always the intention, to do well. It's a commercial industry.
Not really. I mean, like, Among Us had no intention. It was just three dudes, like, coming together and then suddenly just popped.
Their intention was to make that work, though. Their intention... They couldn't anticipate it blowing up in the way that it did.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, again, we talked about this before, but I played that game because I'm interested in those kind of games. So I had played that 6 months or so before it blew up. Like, the people that are into that kind of game...
Yeah, yeah.
Played it, and I'd say it was probably commercially successful.
Popular. It wasn't like for 18 months or 2 years, no one knew anything about it, and then suddenly
it was about 18 months or something like that. But yeah, it probably actually was successful.
Yes,
it wasn't making millions of dollars of revenue, but they definitely, I think, made a return on it.
Oh fuck yes! I mean, of course, it made a fucking huge.
No, I mean before it blew up.
Oh right. But there's nothing fancy about it. There's nothing like beautiful about it. Right? Other than maybe how simple it is.
Yeah, it's just well made, and simplicity is is very important in games. Like, the ability for you to pick this up and just understand it, for it to do... Like, one of its greatest... There's a game called...
But it's not pushing any boundaries of any kind, right?
Well, it's sort of doing...
establishing any kind of new standard.
It's sort of doing a few things really, really well.
Right.
Which is... So, it does... The thing that it does, which I think maybe people don't realize it does, is you have, like, a lot of tasks that you go around and do in the game. Have you played the game itself?
I've never played the game, but I've watched videos of it on YouTube, and it's like, yeah, you fix the ship, you have to, like...
So, but those tasks, you have no instructions at all in the game when you first do it. It's just told you have to do tasks, and you go to them, and they're all, like, intuitive. Like, you see, you load a statue, and you see scuffs of dirt on it, and you know, oh, I have to click the dirt off to clean it. And that's it. And like, you see the wires and the color code, and you know you have to match the color coded wires. And all of those little games, I think, are actually really pretty well designed. They're nothing crazy groundbreaking, but like making all of those really intuitive so that you can just, you know, you've only got limited control. So you just like move, you know, maybe this way or that way and see like, oh, this is a radio, you know, wave that is being adjusted as I move this. I have to match it with that radio wave there, obviously.
Yeah, so it's very intuitive as a player.
Like, I think it is well designed. It is really smartly designed. Yeah.
Do you think if you know how to design a game, you would be able to design a very simple and popular game?
Probably not. I mean, there's a lot of games that are well designed that are just not successful. Like, there's great games out there. One of my favorite games is a game called Dungeons of Dreadmoor, and that company like went bankrupt after they made it, and I think it's one of the best games ever made. It's just like it's a almost perfect.
When was it made?
It's pretty old. It's probably like 15 years old or something, 10, 15 years old, around there. But it's ironic because the style of game that it is just wasn't popular. I liked it. But a lot of people thought those kind of games were too harsh and it didn't have a commercial audience.
But even now, it probably would do well.
That it's a massive genre now. Half the games that like of the like indie games that come out now like are a variation on that genre, and it's just like it was just.
So have they come back?
No, like once the company's done, the people have had to move on. But
the assets are still there.
The assets are there, but like, there would probably be like, I think they're self-published, so one of the people that worked on it probably has the rights to it. And I think they did make a game after that. They tried making something radically different, but it didn't take off. And then I think they closed the company. Company with Gaslight Games. But it's just luck a lot of the time. Like, I think if that game came out now, it would do really well. I really think it's a fantastic game. I play it all the time. It's just...
Even now?
Yeah, I played it. I was playing it. I go like in and out. Like when I don't have anything else to play, I was just like, oh yeah, I'll play a game of this. But the whole pitch of it, the thing that it does, that it did, that is the very... So it's based on a game called Rogue, which came out in like the 80s. I can't remember when in the 80s, but that's a really, really simple... It doesn't really have graphics. It's an ASCII interface. But it's... it's a variation on that called a rogue-like, which basically means... There's a lot of elements that make a roguelike a roguelike, but the important thing is that progress is wiped when you die.
So say it again.
Progress is wiped when you die. So have your character, and you try and get to the end of the dungeon. In Rogue, you had to get all the way to the bottom of the dungeon, then get all the way back up. But if you die, it's a cold. You have to start the entire game again.
Yeah.
And so it's designed to be beaten in runs. So it's designed that. You're not necessarily supposed to ever even beat the game.
Yeah.
You definitely can. It's certainly achievable.
Yeah.
But it's more about like trying things out in the game and figuring all the intricacies out as part of the game. But that style is super popular now. But it was not popular when that came out.
Because, so they were way ahead of the time.
Well, the variation that came out now is much more approachable to people because Dungeons of Dreadmore can take like 20 hours to beat. In 20 hours in a game where you can lose all your progress because you opened a door and there was a boss right in front of the door who just punches you and you die instantly.
Yeah.
It can be hard. You've got to really be careful.
And you're telling me now this sort of shit is what people...
Sort of. There's a variation called a rogue light, which is basically elements of rogue, but they curve some of that difficulty. Basically, they give you progression systems. So you'll die and you'll go back to the start, but you'll be able to make your character a little bit stronger. So the intent is that you will eventually be able to beat it because now you will have a bit more health when you go into it. You'll be able to take a few more hits. You'll be able to kill things a little bit quicker. Maybe you'll start with better equipment, stuff like that. So like when they started doing things like that and adding these like meta progression elements to it, the genre really blew up. There's a few games that kind of spearheaded that roguelike thing, mostly a game directly called Rogue Legacy, which was kind of responsible for like that and a game called Binding of Isaac that both kind of pushed that, and now they're like everywhere. There's roguelikes all over the place. They're super popular. But if Dungeons & Dreadmore came out now, I think people would like it.
Huh.
But I push it on people all the time all the same, but nobody wants to play it. Old game.
But that's the problem. Yeah. So there's a lot of good games that I wonder if we can like buy all these old games that aren't popular now.
It's difficult.
Put it all together and a lot of
old games, buying the rights to them is... So some games, the intellectual property rights, there's a franchise I like, which is a spin on James Bond from like kind of the early PlayStation 2 era, yes. But it's called No One Lives Forever. No, that's the actual James Bond. What's it called? Not No One Lives
Silver
Forever.
Silver Eye. Golden
it's,
Nose.
It's called Kate... her name is Kate Archer. Fuck, I forget. Doesn't matter. Point is, it's a spin on James Bond, but like, I keep wanting a sequel to this, and people keep asking for a sequel to this. They're popular games, but nobody knows who owns the rights to it, because it's tangled up in like... with like a bunch of publishers, and it would cost them too much money to actually hire lawyers to go through like... all their documentation and see who actually owns the rights to it. So just, you don't know. And so it can't happen.
What do you mean?
Basically, people don't know who owns the rights to it.
To what? Goldberg?
To this franchise. To this intellectual property, right?
This game.
Yeah. to this game. There's two of them.
What?
And it would cost the companies too much money to go through the legal jargon and all their, like, contract bullshit to figure out who actually owns the games now. And so, like,
what do you mean?
Like, there's a company, a publisher, THQ,
yeah,
and people think they own the rights, and they think maybe they own the rights. People have asked them about it before, but they said it would cost us too much money to bother trying to figure out if we have, like, because they don't intend to do anything with the franchise, even if they do have the rights to it, but maybe they could sell it. But what it's
worth... Surely it's only like $10,000 or $50,000 to figure this shit out.
What it's worth as a property, yes, is not... Because these games weren't super successful anyway.
Well, then why can't we just buy it for like $20,000?
Because you might not... You don't know who has the right. They right. may not have the rights.
Right, right.
Somebody has it. It might be EA.
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
And so, like, just going through all of that is too much work for a lot of people. And there's a bunch of games, especially older games.
Well,
like,
you know, under those circumstances, you know what you should be doing?
What's that?
You should just be selling the game. Because then when they sue you, you go, well, do you have the rights to it? Ah,
yeah,
that's my lawyer.
I've heard of similar stuff to that before.
People do that all the time.
But normally, I think...
You know, prove your rights to this game before you can sue me.
Usually what happens in that case is... people just take it down anyway, and they say they have the rights, and then don't prove it.
Yeah, so
they threaten with lawsuits.
Yeah, so why don't you just take the game, put it in your incorporate, you know, and then just take the rights?
I mean, the other reality is people just make homages. They're like, well,
what?
We're going to do like a spiritual successor to this.
Right.
We don't have the rights to this,
right?
But you can clearly see what we are making here and how it's been influenced by something. Forever, I forget.
Yes, this is what we should be doing. Things with ambiguous property rights, intellectual property rights, we should just sell it as our own. And then and when people sue us, we'll be like, well, prove it, it's yours. And then they go, yes, we prove it. We'll go, okay, it's yours.
Yeah, we can try and find the rights to who has Dungeons of Dreadmore. I mean, you can still buy Dungeons of Dreadmore, so, like, you go on Steam and purchase it, so...
Yeah, I don't think it's that...
So it must be
someone is
getting the money.
Of course, it can't be that fucking demented, right? Unless I'm wrong.
There's definitely been some pretty weird shenanigans with buying games. There's been points in time where you could buy games and not be able to play them.
Wait, but I just want to check, you've never thought of making a game?
Nah, it's... really hard.
How do you know? Ray made a game over the weekend.
But he made... what kind of a game?
He made like a very simple one of those fly rocket around asteroid game.
All
I guess
right.
do for computer science.
Yeah, the asteroid
course. Yeah. Asteroid collision game.
But like... I think you'd need like just a good idea. And even then you'd need like a team of people to action that idea.
Like, I can totally make his game work. Like, he has a spaceship and it's bumping into asteroids.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what will work.
I don't want to lie to you, but they figured that out like 50 years ago.
Yeah, it's the same thing, but it is a pink donut, and then there are a bunch of skinny girls floating around, and this donut is trying to survive. Because all these girls are so skinny that they are hungry. They're gonna, and they think the game is called Hungry Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an amazing idea?
No.
Why? It's a fucking amazing idea. If it touches one of the girls, the girl will eat it. The girl will pick up the donut, eat it, and then she turns fat.
These kind of games exist. like these joke games that are like really simplistic.
It's fucking hilarious.
The thing with the things like that is sometimes those games do blow up. There's like a joke game called like Shower With Your Dad Simulator. And
like
that
all
game
is fucking hilarious.
Got massive.
Yeah.
Even though
well,
it's
I
like
can
super simple.
Yeah, I can think of another one. Like this, instead of it being a donut, it is like a truffle. And then instead of it being girls, it is truffle pigs. And this truffle, which has a smiley face and really, really cute looking, is trying to survive in the rainforest, or in whatever, the truffle forest, and not get eaten by these pigs. And as soon as the pig touches it, it'll eat it in a very violent way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be like a very, very sad but cute death.
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious.
I don't think it's gonna work as a game. I know the industry better than you, it's not gonna work.
But the mechanics is so simple, you know. The mechanics
but that's
is
just like any platform.
Yeah, you just have to bring context to it. Years. Yeah, you just have to bring context to it.
I think it's a lot more than context. Look, your premise right here is like, yes, we're going to make a... It's going to be a bad game, right, to play. It's not going to be good to play because no, you're not putting effort into it. So that,
no,
so you're
yeah, probably not. But then I guess you can like level up. You can level up. From,
sure, but like
yeah,
there's
yeah,
a lot. That, but then now you're adding a. That,
yeah, but then it's getting more. Yeah,
work.
Then it's a lot more work. Yeah. But basically, like, it's fun for like 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 2 minutes.
The problem is
and
that
then,
like
and then no more.
I mean, you could make that game.
Yeah.
And you could put it on Steam and you could probably make it free.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you can
someone
at least,
would play it maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's
you can,
hard.
You can make it within one day.
The issue is basically discoverability. When you've
yeah,
got games like Dungeons & Dreadmore
yeah,
that I think are absolutely fantastic products...
Yeah, don't get discovered.
That
yeah,
just fail.
But you think
it's
that
like,
don't get discovered, but yet we have Americans listening to this. And to this, have you checked your email, Fudge?
No, podcast but it should like notify me because
right,
I'm signed into it on
right,
my
right,
account.
Right. So all the non-listeners out there, don't email. But there is some truth to it, right? Like, you get Ray, create a game, publish on Steam.
Sure.
And then there'll be some idiot that like...
I mean, it just takes
it,
like...
And they're only... Because, you know games very well. So if you play it... Okay. But you're very critical. So you're probably going to tell Ray, this is shit. And no one needs
it,
that in their life.
It doesn't need to be good. Like what you're talking about, like it's not going to play good. But
yeah,
I also think it's going... It's just going to fail.
Yeah. But I think it'd be interesting to publish a game on Steam.
I mean, you can. It's only cost $100.
Oh. Hey, we gotta wrap this up.
Yeah.
My boss is here.
Okay.
Yeah, you can keep talking.
No, I think we're good.
Oh, right.
We're
I'm
not
sorry.
Making a game.
I'm sorry to all non-listeners out there, but my boss is here and I have to go pick her up. Okay. So, my name is Joe Delicious and I'm sorry for making this so short. Maybe we'll try and attach another karaoke song onto this.
Yeah. I don't
Did you
know
like
that.
It? Oh, you didn't listen to it?
I listened to the karaoke song.
Really?
Yeah. No, I didn't like it. But it's on the end of one of the episodes. I can't remember which one.
I heard it this morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I literally rushed it to the end like an idiot.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Smart.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I gotta go.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.